It's This Week in Sleaze with your host, the Great
Stop,
Lord.
Stop the music, stop it! I got a strange sensation. I've said what I was gonna say before. Let's talk some fucking? This is strange, and if you look at the title of this episode, it's Mind Fuck.
Again?
Again? Something strange going on here, and someone's gotta explain himself. And that's our idea man. The Great Lord Joshua Rigo, you are an idea man, and I love you for it, but why the heck are we re-reviewing the hardcore pornography movie Mindfuck again, like we did on episode 11 of This Week in Sleaze? I mean, did we run out of hardcore porn, and this is the only way that we get our fix? Or is it the case of you following a creative, amusing instinct just for your own benefit? Explain yourself.
Well, I really wanted the show to line up with the new Ultra 4K Blu-ray release from Criterion. So I thought we would go back to the well, you know, kind of hype it up, you know, get people who haven't heard of it before to kind of get on board with one of the great pieces of Asian cinema history, Mindfuck.
And the thing is, there is a Criterion cover out there. If you watch this post for this website exclusive bonus episode, you have the Criterion cover there. It's there in...
It's happening. So we're beating Criterion Cast to the punch is what's happening. We're coming up with the scoop. You know, I mean, we did it before, but now we're doing it again. No, so why did we do this? Why do anything, you know?
Are you saying why come up with a new idea? So let's...
Exactly, when you can redo the same shit and still have fun. And that's basically what it comes down to, is fun. I guess it was probably one of my favorite episodes. Still is one of my favorite episodes. The original Mindfuck. And I think it helped us, you know, find our footing a little bit. You know, it also gave us, you know, that wonderful catchphrase of yours. Yeah, I thought it'd be time to just for a lark, go back and see if our opinions have changed.
Spoiler, it hasn't. It's the same. This movie hasn't aged, like improved with age or anything. If anything, it looks more sort of... yeah. Like, I'm older and more sensitive, so now it's like, no, don't place the camera there. If you tell me you have an idea and that equals work, I normally jump on it because... what the heck? No one is telling us to do anything according to any rule book here, and it's the bonus episode anyway, or boner episode, so what the heck? I like the experimentation, even though it's not a mind-blowing idea, but I can't say I complained doing the process again. Necessarily not at all.
It's a mindfuck of an idea.
Is it though? Is it really mind-blowing, or is it more like, ha? More like... We did it again. Ha!
It's more of a, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, I figured they'd go back to the well on that one.
Well, whether you liked it or not, here it is. The 39th Podcast on Fire Network bonus episode on Mindfuck. And we're going to get to it and even add some background that we've said it before, but in another random episode. So we're going to say it. The bonus background that connects to Mindfuck is going to now be placed next to it in a logical fashion. But anyway, it is noted as a 1990 production on IMDb, which is not a confirmed production date. These two movies we're going to look at, they have different dates in terms of releases. One is 3 years later. I'll get to that. All of this is me saying there's no confirmation of this. But from 1990 and a plot from... someone wrote a review, thankfully. so it's not my plot synopsis. So from Evol666 review on IMDb.
Oh, I know that guy. He reviews a lot of shit on IMDb. Like, you go around looking up extreme horror and stuff. I've seen that name a bunch.
He really came at this with the proper attitude. He actually gave the movie, I think, 6 out of 10. So suck on that for a little bit. Really? Anyway, a plot from Evolve 666, a review on IMDb. A bumbling ninja slash thief unwillingly lets loose a dangerous curse when robbing a wealthy man's crib. A little bit urban here, who robs his crib. Turl employs, which is the husband character, Turl employs a black magic sorcerer to try to contain and control the Hex for his own nefarious purposes, while Turl's wife, Miura, is recruited by a monk to help stop the spread of the curse. The wife gets in the way of Turl's, her husband's, plan and hatches a successful scheme to have her offed. That's the mindfuck movie. But the thing is, versus the episode then and now, there are some clarifications we can make. Granted, we did all of these clarifications during the Trilogy of Lust episode, so because it was topical then, we talked of a hardcore porn movie, we brought in some additional hardcore porn facts for you. So to repeat some of this, I need to correct myself, because I thought, looking at the VHS copy of Mindfuck and the title on screen, that was totes the actual title, but really it's pretty clear as day that is a superimposed title underneath the Chinese one. So there was someone's little creative instinct and joke to subtitle this the way they did and call the actual hardcore porn movie Mindfuck, which is kind of crazy to me, because you would think you'd name a movie Mindfuck and you would think that it would offer up a crazy time, a crazy supernatural bonkers time. But this movie has no chops to do that, really. But it's a brave title, though, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. As most, porn titles tend to be.
Yeah, why go the clean route when you're not showcasing clean genitalia anyway?
The VHS quality.
Here's the thing about clean genitalia. I'm going to sit in my soapbox here and do some talking.
Let me tell you about Joshua, the clean genitalia. No, the VHS quality of Mindfuck, the Mindfuck cut that we're talking about here, it makes everything look so much worse than it probably, was originally. So, like, everyone's skin tone just looks like it's covered in a light smear of shit. That's Mindfuck in a nutshell. So, good luck getting it hard for that, boys.
Yeah, if the reaction from someone who doesn't mind this stuff is ew, then that says something, doesn't it?
Right.
What happened in between episode 11 and the Trilogy of Lust episode that I talked of is that I got a hold of, without knowing it, because I got a movie through trading and all of that, called Luchai Ghost Story. And I turn it on because category 3, I'll review the shit out of that one, because that's what I do. I'm Sleazy K and everything. And I turn it on and everything looks familiar here. I recognize that guy, the bumbling ninja. I recognize this sorcerer, and I recognize those makeup effects of the poor old lady at the end of the movie. So what this was not only familiar but also drastically different in spots. And that movie I'm talking about is, if you type it in on Hong Kong Movie Database, something called Luchai Ghost Story, which is noted as a 1993 production by a different director, Wang Ging Chung, versus IMDb, again, 1990, for Mindfuck, credited to Ma Wu or Wu Ma Tu. So that's the softcore edit of the movie, but the XXX version that we're going to be discussing again adds this unnecessary layer of complexity to the plot. It makes the translation, because there are new subtitles on this, it makes that a lot more profane. And its main selling point, the Mindfuck version, is scenes of hardcore pornography, or inserts of hardcore pornography. The majority of the shots, they're separately shot inserts, probably from somewhere else. Because we don't get full view of actors having sex other than in two scenes, essentially. I can't confirm any of this, whether, how this came about. Obviously, a deal, I think, sometime along the way was struck, either mid-production, for one producer to take it out to one type of adults-only market, while another would get it rated Category 3 for Hong Kong cinema release or video. It was released on Laserdisc, actually, looking way better than it has any right to look, actually. So, you can just imagine that it was a producer's idea. Maybe the movie was shot in 1989, 1990, and there it was. But Luchai Ghost Story it edits down the softcore scenes to a degree, mainly by removing the hardcore stuff, and also features new scenes with Li Chung-ling and actress Chung Bik-wing acting as relatives to the main characters, but not interacting with the separate footage to any degree whatsoever. While Mindfuck actually has exclusive scenes of mostly comedic nature and a different ending, which I'm sure we'll discuss because we're going to spoil this. We're going to spoil the porn, Joshua.
You've already spoiled before.
So, yeah, let's move into it. The quick take of it all. I don't know if we even did quick takes on episode 11, but in short, what did you think of Mindfuck again, Joshua?
Mindfuck. It's still... holds the integrity that it initially did. How does one put into words Mindfuck? It's shit. It is shit. But I don't. There's a certain quality to it. There's a certain something about it that, like, part of me actually enjoys going back and watching it. It does. Yeah. It seems to have like that, I don't know, sorcery feel of like 1980s, like some of those crazy little witch tales and shit like that. It has that going for it, but it's also just so fucking bonkers and, you know, can't make up its mind about what it's doing. You know, this time when watching it, I really took count of, like, the fact that the ninja guy, who is, like, our favorite character, is really in the movie for, like, three or four scenes throughout the whole thing. He almost isn't even in the fucking plot, you know? He's just there to fuck things up, and then at the end of the movie, give us a good laugh.
And yet very memorable.
Very.
I think the reason you still like to... the reason why you didn't thoroughly dislike viewing it, even though it's a shit movie, because I know you well enough that you like to store these movies and whatever production details that surrounds a particular movie, and therefore you don't mind watching these kind of things.
Yeah, pretty much. I do enjoy like fucking strange shit that you can bring up to people. You know, yeah. Where I'll be working in the hospital and like I'm telling one of the doctors.
No. Don't tell me this. Don't tell me you publicly discuss this.
Well, I have never mentioned Mindfuck at work, but I have told people about like strange, weird shit that like always ends up grabbing my attention. Like this fucked up Japanese band called Bathtub Shitter, and I was telling one of the doctors about Gigi Allen and about Mayhem, the black metal band that took a picture of their like, what was it, guitarist who had shot himself in the head and placed it on their album cover and made necklaces
out of his
skull matter and stuff. So weird shit just kind of comes to me, and I like to, you know, put this stuff in the old Wikipedia upstairs, you know, just for, you know, fun.
You know, fun.
Fun.
But kids, he's a good man. He's getting married. He's buying a house. He's a proper citizen of the United States. So it's not like he's a degenerate who's not going anywhere in
I
life.
Promise,
like,
he's not that big of a weirdo.
He's going places, so this is not a sort of this doesn't derail Joshua's plans in real life, thankfully.
Just a good old boy.
So yes, for my short opinion, I mean, it has likable elements, like the supernatural elements. You have the hopping vampire, well, only in Mindfuck, and we have the ghostly revenge, but none of it is executed very well. We like to talk about it because we like to talk about it, essentially, not because it's hot or anything. Oh, no.
No.
I mean, I'm not sure it would have been hot in a perfect 4K restoration either, to be honest, because it's not done with sensuality in mind, necessarily. It's it's a regular old 1993 for all intents and purposes. It feels like a 1993 period sex movie that they shot for a couple of minutes.
You know, the amount of thought that's put into the eroticism, it's almost just like, you know, hey John, you know, we're going to film your asshole while you fuck your old lady just for like three pumps. And that's it, man. I promise. That's it. And that's what they got. You know, just some dude randomly pulled down his pants, had his, you know, his wife or girlfriend or whatever was there too. And neither one of them had done any kind of maintenance downstairs, probably been sweating, you know, probably got swamp ass. It's just horrible.
They kind of do look sweaty, don't they? Or it's like the yes. smeary nature of the VHS transfer, but they sort of, you know what I mean? Like, it's sort of, is that tape defects, or are they awfully sweaty, or is she super wet or something? I don't know. If so, they'd been at it for a while, if so.
Ugh.
It's not pleasant to discuss, but it's, oh, damn it!
It's some guy on the crew that they just, like, dared or something like that. Because up until the final sex scene, like the first part or whatever, everything looked like they just cut it in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they cut to the shots because you don't see a penis or, like, any kind of penetration from, like, an outer... You know what I'm saying? You don't see a wide angle. Everything's, like, close boxed in and they're humping as if it's a softcore sex scene. And then later in the film, you do get like a visible blowjob as well as some doggy style you do see.
So the movie starts and we got someone suiting up big time. And there's a thief and a ninja, you know, in the vicinity and all of that. And then we get the view of a couple. And the lady here, as translated, or the man first, says, "Someone is breaking into my house." But the woman sort of like, "No, never mind that." And therefore... Because it's a porno, porno comes first. But it's also not unlike a Category 3 movie in feel, because it's more like, never mind that, on to business, bad score, bad foreplay, bad overexcitement. I love in these movies that the ladies are super excited by little soft kisses on the skin, and really bad soft kisses against the skin, and then they get at it. So... I guess my question is, you know there's you know how it plays out in the Category 3 version, and that it sort of feels like, yeah, any old softcore movie, but was it at all fun to know that this is going to have a few shots of what we've talked about as well, or how does the movie come off as it starts here with the porn and all?
It's not necessarily... the fun. The fun part of the movie is really not the sex. You just kind of brace for it, you know. Take a piece of a twig or something like that and grit your teeth on it, you know, and prepare for the shit sampled skin and the, you know, giant mounds of wet, nasty hair. But I did enjoy like the beginning of the movie. Like, you know, it's been a while, obviously, and like when it first started, like, we get this shot of like these tools that look like they would be part of like a torture collection or something. I'm like, wait, what the fuck? Like, what kind of movie am I about to watch? I forget what happens here. But then we're introduced to our idiotic ninja, and generally, I think any scene with him in it, I kind of like. You know, he's kind of the typical Hong Kong. It's surprising he doesn't really have crossed eyes. Because that's the character he would be in any other movie, you know? A giant mole with crossed eyes.
And you're not wrong, though, because he is rather enjoyable. And in Mindfuck, we get more of him. Not more of him fucking. He doesn't fuck at all. But more bathroom humor with him. Because he's stealing what he's about to steal. And he is a little bit of a shit ninja as well. Like the best subtitle from the persons who did the subtitles for this one is when he tries to swing onto this ledge and grab whatever he's trying to grab. And he falls on his ass. And here the subtitles are, "Damn these ninja theatrics." Or, "Damn the ninja theatrics." Like, screw them. And I thought that was very funny. But there's also food in the vicinity. So I love that he brought his own chopsticks. And he goes to town eating beans. And you know what happens very quickly when you eat beans? I'm sure this is medically correct. It just goes right through the digestive system. And you just go... Maybe it's because nothing in the movie is really that extraordinary that this is more funny than that, but I can't deny that I did laugh. And I thought the insistence on a lot of bathroom humor just for the heck of it was semi-irresistible, even if it's not great.
I guess it's kind of bad when your film, like, with a high point of it are fart jokes. Yeah, it's when the bar's pretty low, you know?
As for the sex scene, that, you know, if you didn't know, this was gonna have hardcore porn. You know, it's you're watching it. Oh yeah, I think I've seen this. It's not Sex and Sand. It's a lower budget version of Sex and Sand. I think I'm ready for this. And then cut to cocks and balls going in and out of a vagina. Whoa, 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 whoa! Where did that come from?
This is a mind fuck.
Exactly. They've really earned the title. Because I wasn't ready for it. There's a latter scene where they make us ready for it by showing us flowers in a kaleidoscope. And then cocks and balls. So it's that sort of like, whoa, I wouldn't mind if it was a regular sex movie. I could watch that in public. But if this showed up, I need to hide my screen.
You know, at the gym, if it was, something with Jenna Jameson, that's fine. But this shit. Oh, can you hear the thunder in the background here?
Yeah, very much so. It's not that you are hungry and that you ate beans as well before the recording. I'm doing the same as the ninja can. I'm farting. Great, Joshua, great.
Actually, I'm currently eating beans and they're immediately causing me to fart. True fact, beans are digested in about 0.5 seconds. So there you go. Science.
It's the Jerry Seinfeld view of how the body works. Like, we got the tube, and the things going into the tube, and then you have the space there in the middle, and that's all we know currently. So, the movie, we see a little poor Mura and the cold Turl. These are magnificent names that they come up with. It's not from the Chinese version of the film that they've stolen these from. They just made up something. I don't know. But obviously this is a little bit of a melodrama. She's abandoned in sickness and he just has excuses and just wants to get rid of her. Seemingly very, very cold. And that's okay. That's a little bit of drama 101. You establish who's bad. You establish who's poor and who's good and all of that. But you still have a little bit of a connection between husband and wife as they do have a sex scene. And that's the sex scene where in the original, not the original, but the category 3 version, you have the shots of both of them obviously naked and the shots of the flowers in kaleidoscope. It's awfully romantic. And then it doesn't turn romantic, Joshua, because we got again the cut to a hardcore shot with the married couple, which might have been the same damn hardcore porn insert from the first scene, because some of them look identical.
Oh, that kaleidoscope.
Yeah, it was sort of nice, though. Whoa, man, like, love is great, man. I remember King Hu actually, King Hu wrote a blog post about this movie, and he made a reference to the fact that it was very much G.S. Franco in style with the kaleidoscope and stuff like that, and I bet you know more about G.S. Franco than I do, so do you know if that's like a G.S. Franco speciality, the kaleidoscope thing?
Not that I'm aware of, but it does seem like something you would see in one of his films. And then probably also some hairy genitalia.
Yeah, this is totally like a G.S. Franco movie. All of a sudden, we've cracked the code.
It essentially is G.S. Franco. We know who directed now.
Criterion, we have your specs for you.
Yeah, currently their cover art for the new 4K release is they didn't know who to credit the film to, you know. They do a great job of looking back in the, you know, their back catalog and coming up with these, you know, all this detailed information, but unfortunately this was a code they couldn't crack.
Either, yeah, we did it, us lowly podcasters. Do you think versus the softcore movie and its subtitles, I know you probably scanned through it, but is Mindfuck more entertaining just because they go for more profanity and sort of made up subtitles to tailor it to their plot that they've come up with? Because the plots are not similar between the movies.
No, they're not. You know, it's crazy. I trust Mindfuck slightly more than I do, you know, Luchai Ghost Story, but I don't think that somewhere there's another cut of this movie, probably. That is a little more, I don't know, on the nose, because this film has a lot more, of course, you know, dirty dialogue. Like my favorite, which I sent you in a little text, one of the lines, "How is this for a true mind fuck? while my daughter was fucking away in your plan, some asshole, dressed like a ninja, broke into the governor's house and stole the magic jewel, causing a release of black magic hexes. There's no way that was in the original. That's not what those people were saying at that table.
Oh, it's post-dubbed, so you can no one would know, especially not the porn watcher. They wouldn't know.
And so, yeah, like Luchai Ghost Story and this. The reason I say I trust Mindfuck more is because Luchai Ghost Story cuts out all the hopping vampires and cuts out the supernatural elements that are there early in the film and just kind of dumps everything towards the back end. And, you know, while I watch that story, it seems like they're trying to cover up things. Like that dialogue I just read out, that happens, our ninja character, like his second scene in the movie, he's sitting at a table at a tea house. He's overhearing some people say that in the corner. And so, you know, it brings apart what actually happened, which was he did break into the house. He stole that magic jewel. It released the hopping vampire. You know, darkness spreads across the land, whatever. And we know that that's true because of all the stuff that follows. Whereas you watch Luchai Ghost Story in the same scene, they're talking about, God, what were they talking about? Like some kind of poison or something like that. Like there's a poison that's in the thing. And the character has like a totally different type of reaction than what the subtitles are saying.
Yeah, and I like the idea of like an evil hex being released across the land. They don't depict that very much because it's a low budget movie, but
right.
it certainly sounds epic. And I don't know, maybe you feel a little bit more from Yura because she's it's certainly not her fault that that she's sort of the vessel for the hex, or the perceived vessel for the hex. Because in Luchai Ghost Story, it's more, they have some philosophical tangent about the fact that she's sick because she committed adultery in a prior life, and she need to be cleansed because of that. That's where the monk comes in, and this one, the monk comes in to aid in the battling of the hex and all of that. So I like, it sounds bigger when there's a hex across the land and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So again, it's a post-dub movie in any case, so who knows what the original plot was and if there's narrative missing from both movies in actuality.
Where does this film originally come from? What, Taiwan?
Well, I would guess so, because we have no recognizable Hong Kong talent other in the new scenes that were clearly shot in 1993, and both versions are Mandarin dubbed.
I wonder if Lee Chiling even knew like what he's shooting his scenes for this, you know? Could you imagine like if Hollywood worked that way? Like if they're like, hey, Tom Cruise, hey, come here. What we're going to do is we're going to get you in this robe, right? I want you to just recite the alphabet, you know, and just walk around, you know, blah, 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 and then just pretend to have sex with this woman here a couple times, and we're gonna buy some movie from fucking Jamaica, and we're just gonna insert you guys in it. That's what we're planning on doing.
Well, it's a working, it's a living.
Then there's gonna be these balloons.
Oh, boy.
You see? Red balloons in every shot. God damn you, David Lynch, you motherfucker. Twin Peaks tirade, of course. during the Twin Peaks, you know, and look, a lot of people did really enjoy it, you know, and I enjoyed parts of it. I had a great time along the way. But honestly, there's so many people out there that try to dissect and make sense of it and stuff like that. And the fan theories they're floating around are just absolute garbage, and they don't make the series make any sense. Because, you know, you just got to bite the bullet and you got to say, okay, well, it doesn't make any logical sense. You know, you got bait and switched again. You know, this is season two all over again. Anyway, but throughout the whole fucking series of the third season or whatever, they have literally, I swear to God, Ken, they have red balloons throughout the whole thing. Like, there's red balloons in the background of this scene. There's red balloons tied to this outside statue. There's red balloons over here in like the red room. You know, it's like, so everybody was like, during it, they're like, what are the red balloons? What are they telling us? What's going to happen? Like, where does it go from here? How do the red balloons factor back into it? You fuckers.
I'm making it free. That's what I'm making. The idea came, and I saw balloons, and I decided to rip off Stephen King.
We're going to keep the balloons. We're going to get rid of the clown.
It's not a crazy clown time anymore. I've done crazy clown time already. The thing is, both movies, if you look at it, there's no point to it being hardcore, but there's no point to it being softcore either, because these stories aren't based in sexuality as such. So, I mean, it's those kind of movies we're looking at. We can make porn out of anything. Throw some supernatural stuff on there, that'll be good. And some of those throw the stuff on the screen kind of is fun, you know, the low budget solutions. For instance, when the sorcerer is chanting to his altar and he channels, you know, the gods that are painted in the face, and they come and scare Miura while she's sitting there chanting in the room with all the lights and she's spinning. All of that is super low budget, super stupid, but it's actually kind of semi-watchable. There's some, you know, the intercutting in the wizard battle with the doll, the voodoo doll, and her spinning and the praying, all of that intercutting, decently intense. I've seen worse. Gods that are conjured up and are guys that just walk around, ooh, so we can scare you, we got blue makeup on us, and we got red makeup on us. That's perfectly fine. So I don't mind the filled nature of it at all, actually. You only hope that it was more intense and better, and it certainly isn't. I mean, it isn't. When it kicks into special effects gear and all of that, there's only one sequence a little bit later that actually has some special effects chops, so which we'll get to.
Good scene, though.
Yeah, I didn't mind it, and I also love the, you know, speaking of the fact that it's a porn, the sort of reasoning for sex doesn't have to be a reasoning at all, I suppose, but the mistress that they named Luca in this one, she, you know, there's lightning and all of that, it's the hex, let's have sex.
As you're saying, it's the lightning, I have thunder going on in the background, so works out perfectly.
Do you want to describe the soul scene or either both of them that actually are hardcore as shot originally? There's no intercutting between separately shot inserts from featuring John, as you dubbed him.
I can think of one of the final scenes between, was it the governor again with his bride or whatever the fuck that chick was? The one where they do the doggy style and starts off with like a blowjob, but he's covering it up with his leg. And then they do like this little reveal where he drops his leg and, you know, his penis is in her mouth. Oh, you know.
And it is the actor, the actor with the glued on moustache and all of that. So it's clearly him. It's not even a white sort of long beard, a moustache that would indicate great wisdom or anything. It's just a glued on stupid thing. But the first scene is the lady that masturbates by herself and with some kind of rope, and then uses a wooden stick and shoves that into her.
That was awful, yeah.
And so they clearly did it. I mean, I don't have many examples of out there of movies, you know, other than Julie Lee's movie and one or two other movies where they did shoot it originally this way, then obviously cut it down for category 3. But there's no faking this. That was the actress. She's and not a cutaway to a different vagina or anything. Yeah, and even the lead actor, the crappy husband, does full frontal nudity, because that lady is not only enjoying herself but likes to punish others.
She takes she whips his dick. We get an extended dick whipping scene as she takes what do you call those, like a horse whip or what have you, and she's just kind of like slightly smacking his genital area.
Doesn't look lightly or lighthearted or fun at all to shoot that stuff, because I don't know, I don't have any experience in filming such a scene, but it seems like awfully method in my eyes.
Yeah,
and not pleasant.
She wasn't obviously winding back, but she was taking her arm and fully extending it and kind of like, you know, kind of lightly going in there. But the whip, obviously she had no control kind of where it was going. So his dick did get hit quite a few times during that. You know, and then when like at the end of the scene where he like kneels down, like he kind of did it kind of quickly, like he's like, oh, that one hurt. Okay, let's continue the scene and let's do something else. That's what it looked like to me. Okay, hey, let's move on to the next scene, okay?
Can we just do fake sex, please, Mr. Director?
Okay, let me do some fake humping, please.
Please bring in John. I have to do this stuff.
Let John take the shots to the crotch, please.
Him and his shit-covered skin, whatever it was he said. But the best aspect of the movie where the filmmaking really shines, I mean, this is us repeating again, but...
the filmmaking really shines, huh?
Yeah! For heaven's sake, the makeup effect, dude. The makeup effect.
It is.
When the poor good, wife gets poison, man. I mean, that was a great scene from the beginning when we first saw it, to be honest, because I didn't expect such a cruel thing and actually well-executed makeup effect. It looks damn good. I'm sorry, I don't care what you say.
It does.
They really did a good job there. And my main note of that is the fact that when she rips her skin off, all I was thinking of, oh my god, she's a lizard from V, the TV series V.
It does kind of look like that, because it's really dark underneath there, you know? You think of, like, basically the character is poisoned, and then that causes, I don't know, her face to start melting off or something like that. So she goes over to the mirror, she grabs at her cheek, pulls it, and you can see the, I guess, the muscle underneath, but it looks like old dried beef jerky kind of, but it's disgusting. Then that's the purpose that it serves, and it looks, you know, pretty damn good, but it could have probably been a little bit more red underneath there. But anyway, like the blood comes out, it's really dark too, so her whole half of her face is kind of just covered in this dark blood, and it looks kind of, you know, gruesome, and it's very effective. It's one of the better moments of the film,
because it isn't this massive sort of hunk of you know, plastic or clay that she's gonna rip off. Like her face seems as you know, there's no additional layer on top of it, no evident additional layer. So I mean, did they really apply that makeup in a smooth fashion, right? So yeah, her face isn't like extra thick just because she has to rip something off.
Right, it looks good.
So I want to ask you, like, because the movie goes into ghost revenge territory, there's some wire stuff and some supernatural stuff. How I hinted at it, but how is that depicted? Is it depicted with any cool intensity, the way you know, the vengeful spirit comes back, or what's the dealio there? Does that does that show up on your radar at all?
Yeah, I like the final probably 20 minutes of the film. I think there's a lot of really cool little effects. I think it's a nice, kind of a fun showdown towards the end. When the one who comes back as a ghost, the main starlet. But anyway, when she comes back, I kind of like the little shot. It's a little old-fashioned, but it works. Like when our little ninja thief goes in there and pulls, what, didn't he call it an onion out of her mouth?
Yeah, in the original version, it's a jade thing, but he, for some reason, they're like, I have food now. I can cook now.
So it takes whatever it is out of her mouth, and that awakens her. Apparently, they knew that her, you know, spirit could rise if they didn't put this in there, which makes sense because the governor's all into these hexes and stuff. So when she rises, though, it's pretty cool. You know, her body's still there, and they have like this little overlay of her, you know, rising up and standing up out of the coffin. She does the arms out pose like a hopping vampire. From there, she goes and takes over the body of the husband's current girlfriend and forces him to kill her. Also cool little moments. And then he protects himself by placing a bunch of piece of paper outside of his business or outside of his house, which causes her to go get the ninja guy again. He comes, kind of works, and we get the big showdown, I think, between all of them.
Which is not a big showdown at all, actually. It's over very quick, but you're actually right. The beats here are they're perfectly standard and perfectly acceptable within the context of this was made amidst a Chinese ghost story, Sex and Zen, category 3 sort of era, where you just threw everything on screen and you had a couple of people who can do the wire work, yeah, even if you didn't get the people from Chinese ghost story to do the wire work. So they do it. It's under low budget conditions. It's hardly classic, but it's noise for a few minutes, and that's fine. You know, is it satisfying revenge? Not really, but they do the beats that are needed for the revenge part, and they have a porno flick present as well. So they cater to a few different things. So as you said in that episode originally, it's a real movie. I mean, it's not great. It's not even good, but it's a real movie.
Because we were comparing it to what? Ghoul Sex Squad at the time, huh?
Yeah, and I think this is, I don't know, but both of them felt like equal in a way, even though this had a little bit more chops and less necrophilia. Actually, it doesn't have any necrophilia.
Normally, that'd be a negative.
So, before we move on to some minor notes, I guess, on Luchai Ghost Story, describe the twist ending that is only in Mindfuck and not at all in Luchai Ghost Story.
Which is the reason you should not search out Luchai Ghost Story. It's the fact that it's the best moment of the film. It's the film. It's the moment that made us, you know, stand at attention. It's where we got our erections while watching this porno movie. The ninja character, they've killed the bad guys. The ghost is able to, you know, go on to the afterlife with her husband or whatever. And so our ghost, our ninja man, goes home and goes on home to the wife. And when he goes to lay down, you know, goes to, like, wake her up to tell her about, you know, his adventures. Oh, my gosh, she's a vampire monster. And she jumps towards the camera, and we get a shot of the outside of their little hut with the greatest line in cinematic history. What a mindfuck! Boom. Do you need credits after that? Fuck.
Well, by then you're surely done both with the movie and you've done your business, because it's a porno as well. If you lasted that long, that isn't a good job if you lasted that long.
Oh, man.
It's a very Hong Kong slash Taiwan ending where you provide a twist that makes little to no slash medium sense, I suppose. I mean, I guess the hint here is that the hex did not leave the land and is continually infecting the land, including the wife. So it's setting up a sequel that we never got.
I guess that would be the reason why they didn't put it in Luchai Ghost Story, because they didn't acknowledge the curse.
Yeah, I suppose so. But,
we figured
it
out.
They had the footage, and again, maybe who knows when someone decided, you know, we're gonna create sort of two plots here. I have a feeling it was done afterwards, but it could be reversed too. The Mindfuck might have been the actual plot, and Luchai Ghost Story, as subtitled and dubbed, they came up with that plot of the Mindfuck. It might have been that way too. They certainly shot stuff afterwards, which brings in the point that, again, these are similarly movies in terms of running time. The plot is less about the hex in the land and more about this mistress, the Luca character, wanted to get rid of her rivals, and she takes advantage of the weak husband, who isn't as big of a dick here. He's weak, but he isn't as big of a dick. Even the poison that he gives it to her on the premise that it is secure, and he didn't know that. Obviously, it's his fault, though. Sadly, there's no farting. There's no hopping vampire. And the only sort of new beat here is that Li Chunling appears in three or four scenes with the... he is related to the Mura character. She is related to the mistress character, the Luca character. So they have a little bit like, don't talk crap about my sister. Like, don't talk bullshit, but let's have sex.
There were technically five scenes with them. Three out of the five, I believe, all took place in that same room.
Yeah, he walks in like, oh, my in-law is sick. So what's up with you? And then, okay, bye.
What's up?
It's sort of Godfrey Ho style, cutting and pasting, meaning that it certainly doesn't make the movie come alive and you all of a sudden get scope to the movie by adding these scenes. I mean, shit, even the latter bath scene is shot in a modern bathtub. Like literally, they frame it as close as they can, but it's literally shot in clearly a modern bathtub. We don't see any decorations around it at all. So it's sort of like like someone time traveled for a bit here. Any value to that edit at all in your eyes?
The quality of it. I mean, you got it from a Laserdisc, huh? I would love to, just to waste my time, of course, to sit there and take the Luchai Ghost Story and Mindfuck and like make the ultimate cut, you know?
I know you're gonna. You've said it now, and I know you're gonna.
If the subtitles weren't burnt into both films. If I could just get the subtitles, I mean, I could probably do it myself and just write over it, but that would be a ton of fucking work. You know, I wish I could take the subtitles from Mindfuck and put them in Lucha Go Story.
Yes, I'm totally with you, totally with you. Oh, after all, Hex is much better because it also rhymes with sex. So therefore, boom.
Exactly. Boom, done. That's why it's in there, baby.
The ending is different as well. Do you remember the ending to Lucha Go Story?
Yeah, didn't it just... It ended at the big fight, the big showdown, right? And basically, it cuts off as soon as the Grandmaster, the Governor dies, right, or whatever, and it cuts to Our Lady in the afterlife with her husband, right? And then it just cuts to credits?
Yeah, and it was never clear to me if she was welcoming his spirit or not, or if he was gonna... shit, we're talking so philosophically here. If his spirit is welcome or not. But it wasn't clear to me if she was gonna let him be by her side or not. Maybe that's the open ending sort of thing. And you can let the fans dissect that Twin Peaks style.
What do the balloons mean? What does it mean when she greets him after poisoning him or her? Oh my god!
Hey, in all honesty, do you think do you think by now in Lynch's life, do you think part of him is like, I know people are dissecting my works, so I'm gonna troll the shit out of them.
In a lot of ways, you know, I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. Like, hey, you know, this one's for the fans. Let's put these balloons. Put these balloons in every scene. This'll get him talking. I remember when I first discovered Twin Peaks, like super late. I'd heard the, you know, phrase or what have you, and I don't remember if I had seen already Mulholland Drive, if that had been out, but Mulholland Drive really awakened me to Lynch, like, oh, you know. But I remember like going online and when I first heard of Twin Peaks, and I was like downloading episodes off like eDonkey 2000 or whatever, and I remember looking into like these websites that were around. And you had all these like fucking theories about what does the owl cave ring represent? What does this represent? You know? And I used to think, wow, these people are, you know, they're either brilliant or fucking crazy. And like now I'm kind of leaning more towards the crazy part, I guess.
Well, I've always been the viewer that I get, well, most of Twin Peaks is pretty straightforward. The stuff that isn't, I can't dissect as such. I just take it at face value and get what I get out of it. And even if that is nothing, right? Or even if it's like not according to how Lynch sees it. I mean, Eraserhead, right? Clearly, I think I got the pulse on that movie, what it is about. And most people seem to share that. And then Lynch says, yeah, no one understood this movie. It doesn't mean that thing at all. So, <damn it. laughs> because clearly it seems like it's about fatherhood to some extent, fear of fatherhood, blah, blah, blah. But he's like, no, doesn't mean that. Not going to tell you.
Or does he say that because, you know, Jennifer Lynch is now a grown woman and he doesn't want her to think that he was thinking about fucking killing her?
maybe so. But so, yeah. We're done, I guess. So what's next, Joshua? What's the next thing we're going to look at again? Should we look at Trilogy of Lust again?
I'm looking at Ghoul Sex Squad, and I'm like kind of chomping at the bit. I'm thinking about it.
Well, if you say that that's my idea, you know I'm on board. That's the sad thing. it gives us something to do. We haven't run out of ideas, but this was such an irresistible sort of internal joke idea that obviously I couldn't say no to this, and also in all seriousness, it gave me a chance to place the Lucha Ghost Story info closer to Mindfuck than when I delivered it the first time, and you get a chance to see the other elusive edits of Mindfuck, and got your chance to decide which one is better, and obviously the answer is quite clear.
Yes.
So as for availability, though, sometime it was on English subtitle VHS, Mindfuck. This version has newly done English subtitles in green, put on top of the Chinese ones. The original English ones below the Chinese ones were probably not present on this Mindfuck version, because as you saw Lucha Ghost Story, if you would have cropped out the English subtitles too, you would have taken out a huge chunk of the bottom frame. And that would have meant like all kinds of strange compositions. So I think they were working with a Chinese subtitled only version that they placed the new subtitles on top of, because they're abnormally large for both a Hong Kong or Taiwan movie, yeah. These burned-in subtitles from the Category 3 version. So, but if you're going to find, if you can find it, that it's probably only online. I have no idea who released it. It's not a fan subtitle thing. I'm pretty sure it's not. But where it came from, I have no idea. Where you can find it, where obviously we got a torrent of it, not from a porn site, but maybe it is on a porn site somewhere out there, because it would fit the criteria. So yes, Joshua, find out which porn sites host it or upload it for people's pleasure so they can make their own determination of how unpleasant sex can look sometimes.
E-fucked.
Is that an actual website?
That is, yeah.
E-fucked. I know a couple. Haven't heard of that one.
Pornhub.
The first one I ever heard of was the first porn site I ever heard of in the tube era, meaning after YouTube came around. So because right. I've heard of porn sites before, the first one I ever heard of was RedTube, and it was through one of Kevin Smith's podcasts where they were talking of this video of a dog that was masturbating itself, standing on its back legs, and being able somehow to masturbate itself. So it was a video of a dog enjoying himself. That's where I found out about RedTube. That was a determined dog. I gotta say that thing was determined to get it working despite not having the tools to get it working normally, you know, on its own. So that's where I heard about RedTube, through mainstream means. So it's not the dark web or anything. We're done for this boner episode, but thank you for the idea, Joshua. I thoroughly enjoyed that you had the idea. I didn't mind doing the work, and hey, you and I got to discuss something that amuses us, even if the movies are on the sort of grading scale, both Ghoul Sex Squad and Mindfuck on the sort of lower end of the grading scale. But we don't mind it occupying our what was it you call it, your cinematic Wikipedia up there in your head,
the upstairs Wikipedia.
So what is your plan in terms of how you're going to approach the subject to your work colleagues tomorrow in terms of Mindfuck? What's your sort of game there? It's like, hey, what did you do last weekend? Well, I watched... is it even worth it to try?
I don't think they're ready for it. Don't think they're ready for Mindfuck.
Were ready for the guy who shot his head off and then they made a necklace out of the head or whatever it was you said. They were ready for that.
They were ready for that. But Mindfuck something else.
Like it's on the same level of talking of your favorite Adele song and the guy who shot his head off. Right? Is that it?
Yes.
Water cooler talk.
Tell you about mayhem.
Anyway, we are done for this bonus episode. Thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed. And my name is Sleazy K, and this boner episode was sort of presented by the great Lord Joshua Regal. So take full credit. This was your baby, and be an idea man, but vary up your ideas a little bit more in the future. We can't keep redoing stuff, though.
Why not? There's going to be a Mindfuck Part 3. We're going to do it.
What would be the angle to do it for a third time? Like in 10 years or whatever, have you forgotten about it?
I probably will. So I'll be like, let's go back and watch that again. Let's see how that works out.
Like on your 9 for 10th anniversary and wedding anniversary or shit like that. Like, it's the day. Yes, it's our day. No, it's the day where Ken and I do Mindfuck. We're in Hawaii. We're on our honeymoon. Darling, you can't do this. I promise, Ken. It's a pledge.
It's a boner episode, baby. Get out of the way.
And that was the day when she moved all of Joshua's stuff into the garage. That's where he stayed. He had his arcade machine and his Mindfuck collection in the garage.
If I could only get it on VHS from somewhere.
Let's see what Criterion does now that we've influenced them. You know, let's troll them with images of this. Like, we have the exclusive cover. Here's the front cover. Here's the back cover. The back cover is a little bit more lewd than the front cover. And here's the essay. Here's the commentary. Here's the retrospective documentary featuring us.
On camera, talking about fucking Mindfuck.
And Lee Chung Ling or something like, hey, buddy. You're in this movie,
interview
huh?
with Lee Chung. Do you remember shooting this? No. Okay. Shoot.
Thanks. Anyway, yeah. Say goodbye and good night, buddy. And send some praise Joshua's way for being a great idea, man. Those of you who admit to listening to this stuff. So give him all the props. He deserves it. So that's me out. Send us out, buddy.
Goodbye, everybody. Woo! What a mindfuck!